everybody, and welcome to Say Report Junior, a podcast you should be listening to, subscribe to, and downloading every single week. I am one of your hosts, Dale Decker.
And I'm not ready. I mean, I am ready. Hi, I'm Zach.
Are we really ever ready?
No, of course not.
Oh, God.
We don't even know what day or what time or what minute we're recording, so no, we're never ready.
I mean,
it's only been 97 episodes.
Is this 97?
This is 97.
Jesus.
Might be 98. God, I had this before. I think it's 97.
Oh, God.
We're going to miss 100 by a fucking country mile. We're going to look down one day and it'll be episode 115 and we'll be like, fuck.
Oh, God. It's going to be bad. That just means that we need a plan. We should do what we're not great at and plan our podcast.
Yeah, and every time I think about it, though, I think, I don't know what we do for that. I'll figure it out later. Yeah. And then 3 days goes by.
It's like, oh, crap. Oh, man. How you been? What you been doing?
I've been good. Yeah. I've been good. I've been not sleeping, but good. It's been a long couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's been a very long couple of weeks. It's like, I had the fun moment of now I get to sit here for 2 weeks and just question every morning if I have a cough or if it's more.
Yeah.
Or if I have a fever or if it's just warm in here.
Yeah.
And like every am I breathing shallowly or am I having a panic attack? I don't really know.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's been like not a fun 2 weeks.
Understandable.
But in that, let me think. I can't even remember what I've done since we last talked.
Kangaroo fashion.
Yes, we did talk about kangaroo fashion. Astrid's still great. I still refuse to give them any sort of clothing because I'm afraid to figure out how that works.
All right.
I did. I just don't want to know. I don't want to know is the answer I came up with. So I'm just gonna let that mystery live the way it is. I'm trying to remember what I've watched. So I watched MASH.
Yep.
That is okay. Yeah, that happened after the last episode. So I watched MASH for the first time, the actual film.
Mm-hmm.
I still have not seen an actual episode of the TV show. And it's been years since I read the book, but I decided I would watch the movie. And I'm conflicted on it, was what I came out of that with. Specifically because of what we have talked about with, like, Clerks and Kevin Smith films and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I felt like... Now I feel like I'm hyper focused on things like the fact that they don't do a lot of chill things in that movie. That is not a movie in which they come out looking like great people. And I don't think the movie makes like a real attempt at making that clear, which is unfortunate because I really wanted to like that movie. And I still do in a lot of ways. Like, I don't know a lot about the Korean War, which I think is just a thing that it's because it gets breezed over a lot in history classes in this country, because you go from World War II to Vietnam and Korea almost never gets mentioned.
Yeah.
To a point of note, kind of forgot that the Korean War happened a couple of years before Vietnam. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I thought those things happened either at the same time or that the Korean War actually happened after or something. So it's like there is like an interesting idea to like think about a movie that comes out in 1980 that is about the Korean War and not Vietnam, first of all, and is also like very, very different from almost every World War II movie, which is like very gung ho. Yay, America, punch Hitler in the face, which should be. Everybody should punch Hitler in the face. But it's like very weird to then go to a movie about the Korean War in which the whole thing feels like they're like, yeah, remember how like we went to Korea and kind of just it was like a glorified vacation for a lot of people because like it really wasn't our war and we just kind of inserted ourselves. Yeah, that's what this movie is all about, how the Korean War was kind of shitty for us to get into.
Yeah,
which I would have liked if they had gone more into that. Mm. But instead it was like, look at these bunch of frat guys we sent to the Korean War and they acted like frat guys with like no consequence to their actions. It's like, oh, I didn't need to see that actually.
Yeah.
But
I've never seen, like I said, I think we were talking about this. I don't remember if we were talking about on an episode or just off the podcast, but The only thing of MASH I have ever seen is the show, and I've only seen certain episodes that, like, because, like, my family is very big on the television show, and, like, Devin read the book. I think everybody's seen the movie. So I only have context from the TV show. And what I see in the TV show, I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, it's you know, everybody's, like, has this cool camaraderie, and it is really, like, a team and all of that. But I've always wanted to see the movie. So.
Right. And it's very much like, I mean, again, having not, like, sat down and extensively watched the show, yeah. My understanding, at least through the cultural osmosis of MASH just being this huge thing, was that, like, it's very much a laugh to keep from crying type of situation,
yeah.
Which is, like, it's like all of the goofy stuff is very much wrapped around the idea that, like, war fucking sucks. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the only way to get through it is to make martinis in your moonshine martinis in your tent,
yeah.
And getting some goofy situations, which is fine. And I think that's what I took into the movie. And then I went into the movie and I was like, oh, they're really not even focused on the war part of this. like there's very little discussion of the war itself throughout the movie. And I don't, honestly, it's been so many years since I read the book. I don't know how much the book really got into it. So maybe that's what the book always was. And I mean, I definitely read it in, like, late high school, early college. So I'm sure I missed all sorts of things and should really go back and take a look at it. But, like, it really is like extended sequences of them just, like, there's, like, a whole thing where they get to go to Japan to, like, help deliver a baby or something. It's like a whole thing, and, like, it just is, like, we don't even talk about the fact that Japan, the reason of why, like, there's, like, such a complicated relationship between Japan and Korea and Japan and America after World War II, and this is only theoretically taking place 10 years after we bombed that country, and we're just not going to talk about that. We don't even, it's never brought up, it's never discussed, it's never thought about with the context of American soldiers running around Japan. Nothing. Okay, I guess we'll just move on from that. You're going to play golf? Cool. You're going to play golf. Isn't that funny, I guess? It's weird. It's such a weird idea. And I don't know. Yeah. It just didn't hit me the way I hoped it would. Mm-hmm. So moving on from that, I then, like, loaded up, I'm trying to think what else I've done before the one thing I've done for 2 weeks that took up most of my time. I got a hold of the original Tomb Raider PC game.
Oh. Interesting.
I guess, like, PC, PlayStation 1 era, but this was on PC. This was through Steam. Steam had, like, a weird bundle where it was, like, $40 and you got, like, a shit ton of Square Enix stuff.
Oh, cool.
And I had actually, because I had actually owned a lot of it, they do this thing sometimes when they bundle things, which is, like, they will just take out the stuff you already own and then discount it further.
Yeah.
So I think I only spent, like, $15 and I got the rest of that, which included the original Tomb Raider games.
Mm-hmm.
And that came right along with the actual controls of the original Tomb Raider game. Like, you can't use a controller with it because it was made for a keyboard.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean, like, keyboard and mouse. I mean a keyboard.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sitting there trying to, for the first time, probably since I was very young, trying to move directly with just arrow keys and nothing else. Like, I've got arrow keys and, like, two buttons, and I don't have any control really of the camera, and I can't really see where I'm going because I can't move the camera up and down to get a good angle on anything. So, like, every time I need to turn around, and, like, the production that comes with needing to angle jumping across a gap is, like, I need to get in place, slowly turn, kind of turn back, shift a little this way, shift a little that way, step back, step forward, step back again, run, make sure I hit the button at the right time so I don't go running off the cliff, and then there's a separate button to make sure I grab the ledge, so now I'm, like, jumping and trying to grab the ledge and turn all at the same time, and I'm like, how did we play video games this way? This is why we have dual joysticks now.
Yeah.
And like every time I would get lost, I was like, okay, I need to look up something here because I'm missing something. Let me go look it up on like YouTube or something. And whatever video they had on YouTube, they were moving the camera in ways that I couldn't. And I was like, how are you doing this? What version of this game are you playing?
Yeah.
Because it's not the one I have in front of me.
Yeah.
But
that's crazy.
Oh, it's a weird time tunnel back to the way we used to play video games.
Yeah.
That just like I've been taking a lot for granted, having this like innate, this like muscle memory of like dual jump, dual thumbstick, like camera control.
Yeah.
That.
It's totally different. Totally.
Then I learned. Then I learned I was only a fourth of the way through the game, and I was like, okay.
Oh man, I have a funny story about that, about my own experiences with controls.
Oh yeah,
like early controls of video games. But you continue your week.
I've really only had one other thing, and that's taken up like the last week and a half of my time.
Yeah.
Again, having a super stressful time, I was like looking for anything that was even mildly distracting, and so I forgot in the world of streaming services and subscriptions, I found something I kind of forgot I was paying for.
Oh God.
Which is not a lot of money. It was just that like it was what happened was College Humor and Dorkly, which joined as companies a few years ago, launched their own streaming service basically, which was like the College Humor especially has always been a company that has done like online videos. That was like how they made like their big start.
Yeah.
Adam Ruins Everything was a like web series on College Humor before it was a series on True TV, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then at some point they had launched like for like $4 or $5 a month a like premium, like, you know, their streaming service thing, which was everything they had ever created, plus they were doing some exclusive stuff on there, kind of thing. And then at the beginning of this year, I cannot believe this was only like 3 months ago because time is nothing now. College Humor died. The same thing that has happened to a lot of internet like entertainment companies in the last couple of years. Some big nameless corporation had bought whatever existing share of College Humor, and then after not making enough money on ad revenue that they thought they should be making, they fired everybody and shut the company down. Which sucks in a lot of ways because they were making good stuff, and especially one of the big web YouTube channels I watch was the Drawfee channel, which was run by all sorts of people that worked for them and was part of them and all this. And so they unfortunately all got fired and shut down. But they had allowed whoever it was that was running the Dropout, which was the streaming service, was called Dropout, was this streaming service side of things, allowed them to keep running it. They basically were like, look, we're killing this company. If you want to still run the streaming service, here you go. Whatever money you're making off subscriptions, we hope it's enough because you're not getting help from anywhere else. Keep running it. So I signed up for it when that all happened because I was like, I've gotten enough from these people that like $4 a month to at least feel like I was like, I don't know, doing something.
Yeah.
It was like cool. And then I forgot again. I like signed up for it and I never really used it before because all their stuff was going up on YouTube later. And the Drawfee channel, again, the one thing I really used from them, those guys all have kept that channel going on YouTube. So I watch that all the time. So I wasn't really actually watching Dropout. It just made me feel better that I was like, for all of the destruction going on in the world right now, the fact that I was like paying $4 a month for a thing, I was like, yeah, I'm helping somebody.
Yeah.
Keep a job somewhere. Sure. So this last couple of weeks when I was like looking for something, I finally went to Dropout like probably for the first time in 2 months. And I was looking around and they have a show on there called Dimension 20, which is a D&D show, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a group of people get together and play like a long in play. It's like 20 episodes a season, like long game of D&D. And I was like, oh, sure. I'll watch this. I need something.
Yeah.
So I need something to watch. And I didn't sleep for a week and a half as I watched all of it.
Jeez.
But the next thing I knew, I was like straight up like two or three nights, I realized, oh, it's 3 a.m. and I'm still watching this, which has not happened in such a long time. So like, the way the show is like set up is they've got their main seasons, which are like 20 episodes, and there's 3 of those. The third of those is happening right now. And there's also a couple of mini seasons, which are only like 6 or 7, which they play with other people. And there was also like a season that they had tried to do like a weekly live stream, which actually only just ended. So that might still keep going.
Yeah.
That was funny because like, 19 of those episodes were filmed in their studio, and then the last like one or two that they had to finish out the season, they all had to do from home because the quarantine hit. Like that's how recent that finished. So it was just like, I was like, okay. The other part to all of this is that those episodes are anywhere from 1.5 to 3 hours long,
yeah.
Depending. So when I say I watched this entire series, what I mean is that in the last week and a half, I have watched like 150 hours of these people play D&D.
Jeez.
Because like the 3 seasons, 20 episodes, the two mini seasons, 6 or 7 episodes. So that's 14 hours right there for a season of just the mini ones,
yeah.
Let alone a full season, which is like 40 to 50 hours, depending on the length. Watched so much of these people playing D&D, and I've loved every fucking second
yeah.
of it. Like the first season, and it is interesting because it is the closest I have seen to like me and my friends playing
mm-hmm.
D&D versus like so the other big like probably like the top name in like D&D shows on the internet is Critical Role,
yep.
Which is run by Matt Mercer, who's the voice of McCree and all that.
Yeah.
And actually, the first mini season has Matt Mercer and a couple of the people from Critical Role playing it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, Dale, it's so good. It's like, I cannot remember. Have you watched The Lord of the Rings?
No,
I didn't think so. I couldn't remember if that was you or someone else. I was like, oh no, I've never seen it. Do you know the end of Lord of the Rings though?
No.
Like all like about like within the volcano and everything?
No.
Okay. So I won't go like super spoilery on it, but they basically ran a short D&D session that was like, what if the people basically who worked for Sauron at the end of Lord of the Rings had to then deal with the fact that the end of Lord of the Rings happened. And so like all of a sudden they're like talking to, I mean, they're faking all of the names, but like they're also making jokes about the fact that they're like, oh yes, this isn't Gandalf the Grey, this is Cassandra the Beige over here. And like instead of Samwise Gamgee, it's like, oh yes, this is Galvin Hamhead over here, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they're like, what if like just as the Lord of the Rings is ending, there was like a council who was like sitting there talking to Sauron, who all of a sudden just like up and died in the middle of their meeting. And they're all like, wait, hold on, we have to like figure this shit out now. And so it's like they're running around like these incompetent fools trying to figure out how they bring back the Dark Lord after he's been destroyed by a couple of fucking hobbits. And like Matt Mercer's playing this Wraith character who just has this ongoing thing about trying to kill the halflings, and every time he gets in a fight with one, they keep kicking his ass. And so he's like, I'm gonna kill that fucking halfling. Here's this giant hulking ghost king trying to stab at a fucking hobbit who's beating him over the head with a frying pan.
My god.
Like, it's so good. And that's just one of the short seasons. The like long ones are like, the first season they do is called Fantasy High, which is like again, it's like an 80s teen movie, but it's all D&D characters going to an adventuring academy in like this like small town. And like, so the first episode, they get in a fight in the lunchroom with the lunch lady and a giant thing of cream corn. But then like, I think it was definitely the first time they had played like a kind of long-form narrative D&D as opposed to just like playing casually. So like they're fighting this thing and 2 of them die, just like straight up in the first episode of the show, two of their characters just flat out die. And so they're the DM, this guy, Brennan Mulligan, who's like running the game, is like, well, now I have to figure out how to bring back two of my characters in the first fucking show episode of the show. And so the guy running the Adventuring Academy, who's like, if Dumbledore was completely insane, just like walks in, is like, well, I've got this phoenix egg here, but you can't just bring people back to life, there has to be a sacrifice. So he turns to the guidance counselor, shoots himself, and brings back the two characters. And all of that is like, wait, hold on, go back, what just happened? It's like, oh, your principal just sacrificed himself and a guidance counselor randomly to bring you back to life. And they're like, wait, we have to resolve that now. You can't just kill the principal. It's like, yeah, sure we can. Why not?
Oh, my God.
And it just goes on from there. And I just love, like, I was like, oh, this is like watching sports to me all of a sudden. It was like, I could sit here for days, and I did, literally watching, like, very clearly there is a story that they're trying to tell here. Yeah. And you've got six people who at any moment can change the entire trajectory of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is great. Watching someone try and adapt to this nonsense is beautiful. Like the number of times when, like, in a clutch, deeply emotional narrative moment, they're like, you're about to die, what do you do? It's like, well, I'm gonna try this, let me roll. Nat 20, you can't kill me. You can't kill me now, so what the fuck are you going to do with your story? And it's like, well, give me a minute. All right. And launches into this beautifully improvised, like, narrative speech about how, like, you were brought to heaven and you talked to God for a little bit and had this great conversation, and now you're God, I guess. Welcome back to the game.
Jeez.
So good. The current season is Game of Thrones. They decided to do a Game of Thrones story, but it's called A Crown of Candy, which is that everybody's food. So everything is made up of like candy and fruit and meat and bread. And they basically come from like Candyland, if Candyland was a Game of Thrones kingdom.
Jeez.
It's so good. It's so very, very good. Oh, man. And then I'm caught up to all of it now. I have to wait week by week for the rest of the story, and I'm so mad.
That's the worst part of binging.
Right?
That's the worst part.
It was like I needed something, anything, to like fall into, and I cannot believe how deeply down this rabbit hole I fell.
Oh, man. That makes sense, though.
But it was so good. It was so very good to just like have such a wonderfully dumb distraction.
Yeah.
The like live season was just a continuation of that first Fantasy High season. It was their sophomore year as opposed to their freshman, but it was all about them trying to find the crown of the Nightmare King. And so it's kind of a horror story on top of all of their bullshit. Mm-hmm. And so like they'd all be joking around, having fun, talking, making their big jokes, and then all of a sudden Brennan, the DM, would have this look on his face and would launch into some of the most horrifying shit I have ever heard come out of a person's mouth. And it's like, this is genuinely scary. This is genuinely scary what you're doing. Like an entire scene of one of the characters plays like a goblin who's like a PI. So he's like in his own little office and he's so cool. And then they're like, okay. So you wake up in the middle of the night and there's a mirror in your office. It's like, what do you mean there's a mirror? There's a mirror in your office. It's like, okay, what do you do now? It's like, I don't want to look in the mirror, Brennan, so what do I do now? Oh, and he's got this creepy ass voice that he's just like, oh, hello, I'm here to talk to. It's like, oh God, no, I don't like that voice. I don't like that voice at all.
Oh, jeez.
Just the emotional swing back and forth between absolutely hilarious and fucking terrifying. It's like, it's too much emotion for me, but it was good. I got it out in my own way.
Nice.
So that's what I've been doing for the last like 2 weeks.
Nice.
It's just like watching people play D&D and playing video games that are 20 years old.
Hey, there you go. What
have you been up
be
to?
Doing? So I have been up to about the same, in that I've just been playing Apex Legends for like weeks on end. And mainly I've been playing Apex Legends because of the new season. So the new season started in Apex and it introduced a new character. And she's awesome. She's badass, like a badass thief, Loba. And the introduction, I think I talked about this a little bit on the last episode, I don't remember, but the introduction, the whole, like, quote-unquote gimmick of this season is that they created a quest system. So, basically, there's story now in Apex Legends. And there's always been story in Apex Legends, but it's always been through cinematics and just, like, videos that they share on YouTube and whatnot. So, this actually allows you to, like, kind of play through a story. And that was super interesting to me when that came out and when that was announced. So basically, what you have is every day you collect a treasure pack or whatever, and you get something out of that, whether it be, you know, a cosmetic item or just like crafting materials or just experience in general. And once you collect 5, that's when you can take part in the PvE side of things, which is called the hunt. And so it added like this new level to the game for me, where it's like, okay, cool. So I'm going to be playing every day. And like, I guess that, like, I mean, I kind of fed into what they want people to be doing, is that we want you to be playing this game every day. So you have to do this. And every day at 1 o'clock, it's going to reset. So you better make sure you get your treasure pack. And so that's, you know, I've made sure that after 1 o'clock, I'm on playing Apex, getting my treasure pack, getting ready for that next hunt. And so the season itself launched on May 12th, but the first hunt didn't happen until May 19th or May 20th. I think it was 19. Did I do it yesterday? See, the problem with this is
that all of the days blend together.
All of the days of Apex have been blending together. So I don't remember what days I did what in Apex. I'm pretty sure it was on Tuesday, because that's when everything resets. That's when you get your new weekly goals and whatnot. So it was Tuesday. And Joe and I played through it. And it was really cool. Like, it was cool to have a PvE kind of thing where you have these, you know, these, like, dog-like things coming at you called prowlers. And you have to run past, like, hordes of them to try and go get and dig up this piece of this artifact piece. And then you have to run back through, like, zombie versions of these prowlers to get to... What the hell was that noise? I'm sorry. I just heard metal knocking on metal, and I have not moved. So,
sometimes pipes make noise. It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It just scared me. So, like, you have to run through, like, these zombified versions of these prowlers, which is, like, scary. And then you have to get to a drop ship, and Joe and I did it with 5 seconds left. And... it was like, because we didn't realize it was timed. Another moment where Dale doesn't realize something is timed and gets scared once she realizes it's timed. Because I have not been using my time wisely during this whole thing. So now I have to book it. But like, yeah, I don't know the exact time limit because, again, I wasn't paying attention. So Joe and I were just like looting and finding stuff and like upgrading our weapons, upgrading our shield stuff, and we're like, oh, this is fine. And then all of a sudden another horde of prowlers comes and gets us, and it's like, oh my god, this is scary. So it was just like it add this level to the game that I hope they are able to build upon and work on. And you know, there's always this little hope of in me that hopes that Apex Legends is able to get a full-fledged, you know, campaign story where you get to play as whoever you want and you do similar things. That's very high hopes that I have for the game and the world in general, but who knows? They just announced that Respawn announced that they're opening up another studio in Vancouver, I think, that is 100% just dedicated to Apex Legends. So that's hopeful, and that makes me hopeful for, like, more upgrades to the game and, like, more craziness and more story stuff and quest stuff.
And at the very least, there definitely sounds like they're going to keep maintaining things the way they are. Yeah. At the very minimum, they're going to be maintaining this. Yeah.
Everything I've read is, like, they are working towards the longevity of this game. They are not ready to let it go away or anything like that. But so it's just been really fun. And this whole, like, quarantine situation that we're in now really, like, helped me get back into Apex Legends and just realize how much I love that game. So, I am going to be playing it after, like, literally after we record, I am jumping on my PlayStation and playing a round of Apex. But other than that, other games, as far as other games I've been playing, I started playing Broforce again, which I don't know if you've heard of that or played that.
Is that the one where you swap out characters as you find that is Broforce, right?
Yes.
Where, like, you've got Rambo and Neo and John McClane. And,
I've been playing Broforce, and that game, that was, like, such a huge, like, college game for us. Like, that is what me and my roommates would
I don't think
play.
I realized how big that game was. Like, I know that it is a game that tends to be re-released and is, like, big, definitely, like, among the title of, like, recent indie games.
Yeah.
It's huge, but I don't think I realized that it had a wider...
I don't know if it does. Like,
Look at it this way. I don't think I ever expected anyone to say the sentence, that was a big college game for us.
Oh, yeah.
As far as Broforce
goes.
That's
true. I mean, when I say us, I mean, like, there was a small group of us where, like, that was our, like, weekends, or that was our, like, Friday nights of us just playing.
No, it's cool. I mean, that's totally cool.
Yeah.
I just, like, I never expected that, like, anyone to say that about Broforce, of all things.
Yeah. It was, like, that, and because in school, like, I, you know Joe. I've mentioned Joe on the podcast before. Joe and I lived together in school. We lived in the same dorm in, like, co-ed housing and whatnot. So he and I lived together, and he brought his PS4, and I didn't, because at the time I didn't really want to bring my PS4 on campus, because I had heard stories of people getting their entire game collection stolen while they were living on campus, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not about that. So,
yeah, definitely.
Like, I was fortunate enough to have, like, I lived with, like, three other guys most of my college career, and every one of them basically brought their own gaming system, so I just kind of mooched off of that to play the games that I wanted to play during school. And so Joe and I would play these, like, weird indie games that, like, we knew were easy, that we could get through. Like, one of them is called Shootshimi, and it's basically you're fish, and all you do is shoot stuff. It's basically, like, an R-type game, or, I don't know. It's just, like, it's just a blaster game, right? But you're fish. You're just, you play as little fish guys. And,
I actually think you've mentioned Shootshimi before. That
I
sounds familiar.
Definitely have. But, like, that was a big game for us too. But Broforce was a huge game for us. So, like, when I realized that, oh shit, I could be playing Broforce right now, like, during quarantine. And oh shit, Broforce actually has an online mode. So, like, we could play Broforce together, Zach. And, like,
I didn't realize that.
I didn't either. I thought it was strictly local, and then I was just like, oh, there's an option to play online. Holy shit, this just changed everything. So, like, just playing Broforce again was like, oh, this feels right. This just feels right and normal. But and then other than that, I played Journey for the first time.
Yeah, you did. Oh my god, I cannot tell you the smile that came across my face when I got a message from you about Journey. Oh, my God.
So Journey, for those of you who don't know, Journey is, like, a little indie game where basically you walk around and you save little scarf creatures, right?
And not just little indie game. Like, let me be very clear.
No, it's not little.
When we talk about Journey, Journey came out and I think is probably the quintessential. So just like the indie darling for the Oscars, there was a point in time when the way to get an Oscar was for someone, some high profile actor, to go and do an extremely low budget passion project for some director that would then get it so much attention that it was almost guaranteed an Oscar. Mm-hmm. Little Miss Sunshine, I think, is probably the last like really big, really like quintessential indie darling we've had at the Oscars in a long time. Mm-hmm. Because I think after that, that's because when I say quintessential, I mean that after Little Miss Sunshine, everybody figured out the formula and it became like such a weird rote thing that I think I think Little Miss Sunshine is the last time someone really did that on like the real indie low budget scale mm-hmm. that we talk about with that. And I think the same goes for Journey. Journey was a PS3 exclusive that absolutely exploded the indie scene for console video games because of, very specifically because of the idea of it was a game that was about exploration and jumping on platforms and no combat.
Yeah.
But then there was a second part to it that I want Dale to get into.
So I'll get into that. So the reason why I kind of decided to play Journey was because, first of all, I realized that we own Journey. I think it was a free game or whatever.
It was a PS3. It was a PS4 game a few months ago. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, we own Journey. You know, everybody who I've talked to about, like, Rhyme or Abzu have always mentioned, oh, have you played Journey? Have you played Flow? And I haven't. Have you played Flower?
Flower, which is from that same studio. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
But Flow is one too. And I'm like, no, I haven't played any of those. So they're like, well, you should. If you like Rhyme and if you like Abzu, you should play these. I think, you know, you'll like them. To the point where I was streaming Abzu one day and one of the, sound engineers or musical engineers like started watching my stream and he was commenting on my video and we were talking and he's like, yeah, there, you know, there's certain things that like that sound came off of one summer where I jumped into a lake and I'm like, that's insane that you like thought of that and that you put that in the game. That's so cool to me. So he like did a lot of, I think he did a lot of like the Folly work on Abzu, if I'm remembering correctly. But so one this while I was playing, this was like my third or fourth time playing through Abzu, he was like, have you ever noticed the Easter egg that we put in the game? And I was like, no, I mean, I've seen, like, I found Marlin and Dory hanging out in a corner, and I like, I know that's an Easter egg. I know, like, you can find the, like, a big Leviathan. You can find a giant squid. Like, I know those, but I don't know, like, any other kind of Easter egg. And he was like, well, specifically, it's to a very famous mountain. And I was like, what? And I was like, what do you mean?
Which is great, because to me, I understand exactly what that sentence is. And I understand also that you did not understand what that sentence
was. When he first mentioned it, and I was like, oh, a famous mountain? Like, I haven't noticed that. And then he sent a picture of the Journey Mountain, which I know the image of Journey. Because, you know, I worked at GameStop. I've always been around people
Again,
who are
2012,
video
it was
game
impossible
people.
To not, like, at least hear the name Journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, I have friends who have played Journey. I've seen, you know, fan art of it. So I've always, like, kind of had this interest in Journey. I just never played it. So he shared the picture of the Journey Mountain. And I was like, oh, okay, it's the Journey Mount. I've never seen that. And he was like, okay, I'm gonna show you where it is. And so he, like, walked me through how to get to a spot where you could see the mountain. And lo and behold, it was there. And I'm like, that is so cool. Like, I've never played that game, but I really appreciate that you guys, like, went to the extra length to put that mountain in there. And also now headcanon, they exist in the same world. So thanks for that. But so I was like, you know what? This Journey has always been like this thing in the back of my mind that I know I should play, but I never took the time to. Well, now I have all the time in the world, pretty much. And I was like, screw it. I'm going to play this. So I hop into Journey one day and start playing it because I was like, you know what? I should take a break from Apex. So I hop into it.
Journey is also playing. Like a break from just the world, like the slow kind of contemplative concept of that game is such like a nice like relaxer.
It's
of just
very
like
relaxing.
You need to take your time to get through this.
I mean that's it's why I like Abzu, like, and it's why I like Rhyme. They're just very relaxing stories that still kind of pack a punch when you get to the end of it. Like, in some, you know, I can't spoil Rhyme, so I'm not gonna talk about anything that's heart-wrenching, that packs a punch or is heart-wrenching in these games. So, I can't, because you can't spoil Rhyme for people. You just need to experience that game, and realize what that game is as you're playing it. But this, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I feel calm. I'm down with this. Wait, I don't like that the camera moves if I move my controller. And that was totally, like, the PlayStation Move gimmick. And I'm like, all right, I get it. But, like, I'm still going to move the camera with my joystick.
I forgot that that was a big Move thing. When I played it, so I played it on either PC or PS4. It must have been PS4. I think I must have picked it up cheap for PS4 when I first got that a few years ago.
Yeah.
So I definitely did not use motion control as far as the,
well, the
thing goes
so the,
on.
The
that.
Thing like, is, I, the thing is that usually in situations like that, you can turn off the motion control. You cannot turn off the motion control, and I tried. So.
Oh, then I definitely did. Okay, then maybe I just got used to it. I also am. I'm extremely adaptive on shit like that compared to other people. So, like, at a certain point, I probably was just like, nah, fuck it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I treated it, too, where I'm like, okay, do I have to play this way? Can I use the right joystick? Cool, I can use the right joystick to look around. That's what I'm going to do. So I basically had to force myself to not move the controller. It was the most still my controller has ever been playing a video game. Because generally, like, I like, adjust my...
Oh, man, you would hate... there's a couple of sections of Until Dawn that are specifically about holding your controller still during, like, chase sequences that you might absolutely hate.
I think that's cool. Like, I actually think that's cool where it's like built into the game like that. Like, if Until Dawn's like, hey, if you move your controller, you're gonna get got, I'm like, oh, all right, I'm not gonna move my controller then.
The next 30 seconds of the most action packed
but it was weird because like with Journey, the smallest motion would just turn the camera, and I'm like, no, that's not where I wanted to look. Okay. Like, so it took me a second to adjust, and then once I realized that I could, you know, just stay still and use the control, the stick, I'm like, fine, okay, I'm cool with this. So it's, like, the most fun in that game is, like, when you're sliding down the hills, and it was just, like, so cool. And when you release the scarf creatures, like, it felt so Abzu to me. So, like, I realized where Abzu, like, kind of came from, where its roots came from. And because in Abzu, you have to go to, like, little pools and release certain species of fish back into the ocean. So it was just, like, it was so similar that I was like, this is cool to me. Like, I really enjoy this. But then I finish off the first area, right? And I get to the second area. And it's ramped up a bit, right? You have to release more scarves, more, and do a little bit more, jump around a little bit more, create the bridge. I didn't know you had to create the bridge until, like, a week later.
Yeah, this is also, like, a whole other thing. Like, this is also one of those games that really epitomized the idea of, like, we want you to explore things, so we're telling you fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Which hit or miss on that in Journey, and then, like, people who have utilized it later, like, sometimes it's done really well and sometimes it's not.
And I like that stuff a lot, so I was the the first time I played it, the first day I was playing it, I get to that section, I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? I still need to release these scarves. Okay, cool. Then all of a sudden another me showed up. And I was like, what the fuck? How did I get this thing here? I want it gone. It just keeps running around and hitting its little chime button, and I'm done with it. It's annoying me, and I don't know if I'm supposed to follow it or if I'm supposed to, like, match its chimes. Like, is it a rhythm game?
I mean,
what the fuck is going on?
Which is funny, because the answer is, yeah, they were probably trying to get you to match their chimes, and they were probably trying to show you something.
Yes. But I didn't know, like, I didn't know what the hell was going on. And I got so frustrated that I was like, fuck you, Journey. I'm done. I'm taking a break.
Dale was time traveled back to 2012 is what happened.
So no, but not then, because I was just like, I'm done with this. And so a week later, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give Journey another try. I'm going to hop in there and I'm going to follow this thing around. Right? And then I hop into the game and there's no other me. And I'm like, oh, all right. That's weird. Maybe it was a glitch. So I could continue through the game and I'm playing and I finally realized
that was your first thought.
That was
that
my
your
first
thought was that the game had wholesale created another random AI character.
Yeah. Nope. That's 100% what I thought. I was like, oh, it was just a glitch. Whatever. I'm fine with it.
Man.
And so I get to the, you know, I start realizing the game. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, I need to get to these things. I need to create the bridges and all of that. Cool. I'm down with this. So then I start playing. And if you know Journey, it's like, you know, you're in the desert and then you get dropped to the underworld, kind of like underwater. And there are more scarf creatures and like this huge, like, creature that you have to hide from, and so you get
like
through
that, like a dragonfish kind of thing, right?
Yeah,
if I remember correctly,
it's like
yeah.
a sea serpent, pretty much. And so you have to, you
dragonfish, a sea serpent,
yeah, a dragonfish, yeah. So like you have to get away from that, and like that's the first time you can really get hurt in the game, which I didn't realize. I was like, oh my god, like if there is ever a moment, this is the time where I'm going to get hurt. I need to hide.
Right. Like that's the closest that this game comes to not combat as much as like a failure state,
yeah.
I guess
yeah.
is the best way to put
that.
Well,
because the whole time you're building up your scarf, and then if this thing finds you, it cuts your scarf. And it's like, oh crap, I can fly less now. I can't fly as much as I could. This sucks. And so then you get to like the golden area, which like I like to call it, and you have to like jump through everything and find all of the talisman or not the talismans, but like all the glyphs and stuff and kind of get the story of what's going on. And then you reach it's like a tower, and you reach the top of the tower, and all of a sudden there was another me. And I was like, oh my god. Okay,
oh,
so
this motherfucker's back. So
I'm
being
like,
haunted is what you're telling
yeah.
me. So I got a ghost following me.
That's not even it. I was like, oh, cool. It's another prophet person. Because the whole time I'm like, I make up fucking stories to these games because there's really
and
there's
Journey
really only
specifically wants you to do that.
Yes,
like Journey
exactly.
is specifically tailored to, we want you to decide what
yeah.
this all kind of means as far as who you are as a character.
And the way I took it is like you're kind of this, not prophet, but you are this kind of, I guess prophet is the best word, because I was gonna savior. Like you're this prophet going through, you're the one who needs to save these creatures, you're the one who has to get to the mountain and pretty much, you know, join everybody else.
Right,
in,
and there's like
in,
some there's like a
journey.
There's very much like a pilgrimage
yeah.
feeling to
yes.
it. Like you are on a religious journey
yeah.
or like
yeah.
a like a walkthrough. Yeah.
Yeah. So you get to that top of the top of that tower and another one shows up and I'm like, oh, cool. It's another person. Like it's another person who is like on this journey with me. It's another prophet in the game. Like that's cool. I wonder why it showed up earlier. Maybe it was just trying to help me. I don't know. So
maybe
then,
the game decided I wasn't moving fast
yeah,
enough and just plopped
like,
this thing in here.
I was like, maybe it was just trying to get me to learn something or whatever. So this other thing and I start walking forward and start doing the stuff. And we start like hitting our little chime and all of that. And I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. Like we were supposed to be working together this whole time to like bring back peace to the land. I get it. Cool. Like that's cool. I like that the game put a person here, like whatever, put another character here. And so we're going and we're going and we're climbing up the mountain and we're slowly dying. And I'm like, what is happening? Why is this happening? Why am I freezing to death? Why is this other person freezing to death?
There is not. Yeah. And can I tell you right now, I don't remember a lot from Journey because, again, it's been like 4 years since I played it.
Yeah.
That walk up the mountain is still one of the single, like, the scenes, like, from a video game that I remember constantly.
It was crazy. And it's so different from the rest of the game, which I really like. I mean, because you can't fly, you can't use any of the abilities that you've pretty much learned that you could be using. So you're freezing to death, but all you can do is avoid wind, and you start moving slower and slower. And then I started to realize, oh, the game put this person with me because, like, we're keeping each other warm. Like, our chimes are keeping each other warm, and that's cool, too. So I'm like, obviously, they had to throw another person here.
Right. So,
another,
like,
character,
yeah,
because
get next to them, and it, like, actually does, like, straight up, it does, like, straight up warm your character, doesn't
it?
Like,
yep.
Because
totally
the other thing is, I'll tell you this, like, from my playthrough, what I remember is not just that, that's great, but also, like, if you can't see through the mist, all of a sudden you hear the other person is like, oh no, come this way.
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta go this way because this is the direction to the next stone that blocks the wind.
Yeah. it felt like just like a game's like guardian angel or like a little fairy kind of thing from like Zelda or something. I don't know.
Navi,
like
you're saying this is Navi. Hey, listen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know much about Navi, but it felt like, okay, the game was like, this is going to be a tough part. We're going to add like another little hand-holding thing right there. And it's going to be fine. It's going to show, hey, like, you do need to work together with this character that we've provided you to get up this mountain. And I'm like, that makes sense. Because, like, you know, it's a journey. Sometimes you need help on journeys. And I like that. So cool. And then I finally get to the end of the game. And that's beautiful and so much fun. And the credits start rolling, and it's like going back to the beginning of the game, and it's just gorgeous scenery and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, it says, companions found along the way. Henry and some numbers. And I was like, the fuck?
Yes.
What do you mean companions found along
moment.
The way?
The fucking moment when you realize that that is another human being who also happened to be playing the game at the same time as you did.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I knew it was going to happen because when I went in, I went in, you know, 4 years after the game already released, and I knew what was going to happen. And so I was waiting for it. Every time I went around a corner, I was like, where's my friend? Where are they? Where are they coming? And like, I don't remember when they joined me, but I do remember going up that mountain with another person and being like every time they would chime to me that there was a rock, it was like, that's got to be someone else who's played this game. I cannot not follow them.
Yeah. Nope. I had no fucking clue it was another person.
That's so good. And it's like, that's like the thing that gets talked about and you didn't know it for 8 fucking years.
Yep.
That is fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty happy because if I had known, I think the game would have been different for me. Like it really would have been different. It would have been a total game changer had I known it was an actual person. But so a lot of stuff started going through my head when I was like, oh, that's another person. First off, that first day I played and that other person was just running around chiming, I abandoned that person. And whoever it is, whether or not it was a real person or an AI character, like, I felt a little bad. Because I was just like, fuck you. Take your journey alone. I don't care. Because I was just like, the game is glitching out. I need to be done right now. So that was the first thing where I'm like, oh my god, I feel really bad. But the second thing was I went and read the trophy list for Journey, and like, I'm so happy I didn't read the trophies, because it talks about finish the game with like 10 companions, finish the game with, you know, have a companion with you by the end of the game, go back to the start with a companion. And I that would have, again, that would have told me what I didn't know. But yeah, when you were like, oh, so who was your buddy at the end? And I was like, wait, that, how do you know? And I'm like, what do you mean about buddy? Like,
there was such a, there was like, there's so few moments these days that absolutely like make you just like wide-eyed smile, jump in the air laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
And the second I said, so who was your buddy at the end? And the response was, wait, I went, oh my fucking God.
Cause like, I was like, so, cause initially
it's like dawning, it's dawning on me as I kept getting message after message of, wait, what? Wait, hold on. Wait, hold on.
That was a person. Was
like, and I was like, oh my God. 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 Oh my God.
Well, cause yeah, like, so I saw the picture, right? I saw the thing of companions found along the way, Henry. And I was like, what? That was weird. I didn't know the person had a little name. That's cool. Okay, what's up, Henry?
Well, especially because if you get a first name and numbers, it's very easy to be like, oh, auto-generated name by the game. They just named, they came up, they have a list of names and a list of numbers that they just kind of cycle through at random in the game to put them together.
And I was like, oh, that's cool, little storytelling. Like, oh, my buddy's name was Henry. Cool. I have, me and Henry went to the heavens above together. And then, like, I texted you. I'm like, oh, I finished Journey. And you were like, yeah, who's your buddy? And I'm like, wait, Henry was a person? Like, what? I just it made me question how I was playing the game, because I'm like, if this was a real person, I was doing some questionable things in this game.
And the best thing is, like Journey is very specifically, so when Journey comes out, they and that all kind of gets revealed, they start talking about it. They start doing interviews after the game is released and everybody knows it's happening. Because I think in the lead up to that game coming out, I don't think they ever told anybody. Like, I don't think any of the marketing, I don't think any of the interviews or anything ever talked about anything other than you are on a solo journey through the desert and you got one button.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the whole thing about it. It's like, oh, we're doing this whole contemplative, you know, story about you're journeying alone through the desert and all this other stuff. At the very least, if they ever talked about there being another character in the game, they didn't tell you it was a player. I think that was something that was definitely revealed like as the game released. So then they're talking about it afterwards, and like from a game design standpoint, and they're like, yeah, we were trying to think about like limited communication. You have a button to chime, like you figure out in this game how you get someone's attention, and also like you can't troll them, you can't kill the other player, you can't really do, the most that you can do to troll in this game is that you chime that you have to jump up on a ledge and then you stand in that person's way as they're trying to jump up on it. That's the only thing you could do at all to like stop someone from progressing with you. And so it's like, how do we develop a system that is going to be, that is going to say the benefit for you right now is teamwork, the benefit for you right now is to listen and try to understand and try to figure out a way to communicate without an actual language to communicate, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
And like this idea, and I was like, oh yeah, you've got a button and you can move, so figure it out from there, is fucking amazing in that game. To be like, oh, over here, over here, over here. And your response was, game's glitched, bye.
Yeah.
It's so very good. I love it. I love it.
If that was a real person, I'm like, fuck you. I'm not listening to you.
Man.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, you don't, like, again, I never would have guessed that there was a person out there playing Journey right now that didn't understand what was happening. So I was like, hey, come over here. Come over here. And that person rage quit. I'm like, oh. What?
It does make me wonder that, because you and I had started talking about, I don't know how many people are playing, so it could just be AI characters. So it does make me wonder, and it makes me, because for the most part, I played that game alone. I got through that game alone up until the climbing of the mountain. And again, I thought that was just game. I thought that was all just, you know what? we're going to throw in another prophet with you because you're going to see what it's like to go up this mountain together. And it's just, you know, it's not just you. And it is, you know, you do need somebody to get up this mountain, and we're going to provide that for you. Yeah. So it felt very much like, cool, I got through this alone. I got through this whole thing alone. But it makes me question whether or not you can complete the game alone.
I would. I bet you can. I bet there is somewhere. I almost guarantee you, if you look up, at least on YouTube, like Journey solo mission or something, yeah, you'll find something. Because, like, they also have to compensate for the fact that, what if someone doesn't have internet?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know if, like, there's a point, if at the very last possible moment they do just throw an AI character in for the walk up the mountain, or
yeah,
if there is a way to get up that mountain alone. I have no idea.
Like, it gave me, like, now I'm going to try and challenge myself to get up the mountain alone, because it was hard, and it was pretty difficult even with that second person. So I want to see if you're able to do it. Because, like, it comes from, like, Abzu is very much a lone person game. And there are parts where it's like, oh, shit, I can't, like, this is a hard part right now, but I can get through it. So it does, like, it makes me wonder. And, like, looking at the trophy lifts, too, it's like, complete the game with, like, 10 companions. I think that's one of the trophies. And I'm like, how? How are you going to have 10 people, like, jumping on each other? It just feels like it's going to get clustered.
Well, no, the weird thing about that is that it doesn't populate, as far as I know, it never populates more than 2 people.
Okay.
So in order to have 10 companions, you have to meet somebody, save the game, quit. Meet somebody new, save the game, quit. Meet somebody new, save the game, quit. Like,
I don't think it remembers the people, because that initial, I only had one name at the end of my game. I didn't have 2, and theoretically I met 2 people.
Right. I have no idea. I don't know if it ever names anybody other than the person who got up the mountain with you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it ever.
Yeah. I don't know. It created a lot of questions in my head that I need to test. Like, it makes me wonder, I'm like, if Zach and I start the game at the exact same time, are Zach and I going to be traveling up this mountain together? Are we going to be traveling down this road together? Or is there somebody else going to be in there with us? Like, what is going to happen if that happens? So, yeah, Journey has brought a lot of questions to mind. And, yeah, but it was really fun, and I'm really happy I've played it now. And it makes
good.
Me want to play,
like,
Flower and Flow and all of that. So.
It's good, because it's, like, it's also interesting to figure out, like, which games from, I mean, 8 years ago now are still going to hold up. Like,
yeah.
I played Portal, which came out in 2003?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Something like that? 2007. The first Portal came out in 2007. And, like, the fact that that still holds up 13 years later, that I could go through that and then immediately jump into Portal 2 because I was so excited by it.
Mm.
And, like, you're playing a game from 8 years ago, and you're like, I want to find other games here. It's like, God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That, like, games from more than 10 years ago. Because, like, I think about 2001, 2002, if you're talking about games from 10 years before, you're talking about games that might not be accessible or exist in any form or fashion. Like, a game from 1992 versus 2002 is so wildly different compared to 2013 and 2020 right now.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
those
yeah.
are, like, that's, like, such a weird idea for a medium that struggles with keeping versions of everything existing so that you can play whatever you want over and over. It's like, everything that's come out in the last 15 or 20 years, there's almost certainly some version of it that you can play right now.
Yeah.
Nothing from more than that, though, has seemed to survive, and it sucks in a lot of ways, but, like, it's good that Journey can still, like, affect someone. Like,
yeah.
I like that. So.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I don't know. It was good. It was good.
Good. We're both using our time wisely here in quarantine. You're getting your mind blown, and I am watching people clutch play D&D. Watching, oh man, good though.
Yeah,
I think it's both. I think it's both been worth our times.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Oh man. But yeah, this has been Sarah Poore Jr., a podcast you should listen to, subscribe to, and download. You can find us on YouTube. You usually do this. You can find us on YouTube and Spotify and any podcast app that you use if you search Sarah Poore Jr. You can find us on Twitter at Sarah Poore Jr. And you can find both of us individually. I am at Dale's Brain.
And I am at Zerwhiskey.
And I really want some ice cream now. I don't know if I have any. But I really like some ice cream. And everybody should go get some ice cream. So,
take it away.
Yeah, take it away.
Thank you for listening to The Say Report with your hosts, Dale Decker and Zach Sarawick. Please follow the guys on Twitter and Facebook by searching for The Say Report. And you can always subscribe on your podcast channel so this is delivered straight to you and you can enjoy it every week. With apologies to your mother, we'll see you next time.